a quick side note before I really begin. In regards to fasting, we won't fast. We won't. Sorry, we won't have our prayer meeting yet, just because we don't know the logistics of the space availability at the new place. However, I do still encourage us to fast. We took off for last Wednesday because of Thanksgiving, but following still the coming weeks, it's extremely important to fast. It's not fun. I love to eat. I'm not going to lie. However, and I've been reading this recently, especially in the book of Samuel, a lot of the ancient people of Israel, they fasted a lot. If something troubled them, they fasted. Even if they got bad news, they said, I won't eat until sundown, or I won't eat until I get home, or I heard bad news. It's constant. It was normal. Today, it seems like it's a very unusual thing or a drastic thing, but it really should become commonplace. I know it's hard. We live in a culture where you can press a button and a drone will bring food to your house. Food is everywhere. You know, we buy stuff that has a shelf life of a few years, some of this stuff. But food is, you know, Shaul writes that there are some people, their God is their belly. And I'm not going to do the America bad thing. I don't like when people put down America. But I am going to say that when we fast, we literally give our own flesh and blood as unto God. And what's more dear than that? So, as with anything, when God did something great, the people would offer sacrifices, something of value to them. What's more valuable than our own flesh and blood? So when we go to fast, we're giving of God as literally of ourselves to beseech him to do something that is on our hearts to do. So think about that, please, as you continue to fast. And it isn't, I know some people can fast more, some people can fast less. Fast what you can. But do give something that means something. If it's like, oh, this is no big deal, maybe you could give a little bit more. But it is very powerful. Extreme. Yeshua himself fasted. How much more should we, his disciples? All right. So I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I always love when I see, it feels like the pieces of God's chess table work together. When Melanie mentioned about perspective, and Scott mentioned, I didn't know he was going to play this. About looking back and we're looking forward. Today I'm going to talk about looking forward and upward to God. This is obviously a time of transition. Transitions are challenging. But I want to think about this. Let's just look back on our lives. We were all born. That's a transition. We weaned from our mothers, most of us, some of us. Then you had to learn how to transition to external food. You had to learn how to chew. You had to learn how to swallow. You know how many times my Orly would choke on just basic cereal? It's hard. You have to learn these. This is a big deal. Then you have to learn how to sit up. Then you have to learn how to crawl. Then you have to learn how to walk. How many of us fell when learning how to walk? The transition's tough. Then we go to school. Then you have to learn how to, then you have to make friends. You have to learn how to sit in class. That's a big transition. Then you go to middle school. Then you go to high school. Then you make new friends. Then you lose some friends. Then you get in fights with friends. Then you reconcile with friends. Then you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. These are all transitions. Then you go to college. And if you're like me and you went across the country to go to college, mom's not there to cook food anymore. You got to do your own laundry. These are all transitions that we've gone through. And then maybe you go back home, but eventually you go live on your own. Now you really got to take care of yourself. You get a new job. Many of you are in the military and the government. You moved around. My wife and I just moved. That's a big transition. It's still difficult for us. We just spent the last week with her family. And coming back, it's hard. Because you have a bunch of helpers and a bunch of loved close ones. And all of a sudden, we feel like, in a way, we're on our own. Transition, our life is replete with transition. This is another transition. Go to the next slide, please. The transition is we really have two choices. We can look back to what is familiar and comfortable. Usually that's accompanied by, if it's done in an improper way, it's accompanied by mourning or lusting for the past or, oh, I wish what was. Or the encouragement is to look forward and upward to God. You're never going to live a life without transition. It's just how are you going to go through it? My encouragement today is to look forward and upward to God, because your perspective, where you're looking, is going to determine your behavior. If you look backwards, anyone ever try to walk backwards very far? That doesn't work too well. But if you look forward, you keep your eyes up, you can go ahead and you can make that transition. My father-in-law says, quoting his father, life is a series of adjustments. If you can really boil it down in a practical way, that's what it is. We have to learn how to adjust. So let's go to the next slide. A great example of this is really Israel's transition. The biggest one is, of course, coming out of Egypt into freedom, to God leading them through the wilderness to the land of Canaan. Now, Israel had been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. You get used to, when you're in a space, especially for a long period of time, you get used to it. You set down roots, even if you're a slave. And you learn how to adjust even to being a slave. I'm not saying this place is a slave, God forbid, but my point is, Israel got used to living that life. Even though they had that promise built into them that God eventually would save us, they got used to it. They had kids. They, you know, took wives and husbands. They lived the life of a slave for not just a couple years, but 400 years. America hasn't even been around for 400 years. It's a long time. You know, so transitioning out of being a slave into a life of freedom is a big deal. Even if you're students of history know, when after the Civil War, when the slaves were set free, many of them stayed with their former slave owners because they didn't know where else to go. Where are they going to go? They didn't have LinkedIn yet. They couldn't just go look for a job. All they knew was to work the farms and the plantations. So they stayed put. They were free, but they didn't know what else to do. So think of it. Israel's no different. God says, let's go out. And he said, all we know how to do is be slaves. He says, but if you follow me, if you look at me, if you trust me, you'll be free. The choice is, are you going to look to God, the liberator, or are you going to look back to what you know, what's familiar, and be stuck there? Next. Israel had a lot of choices when they went out into the wilderness. I mean, even the first big, even with Moses, people think, oh, we don't need Yeshua, we have Moses. The Jewish people rejected Moses initially. People realize that. They said, who made you a prince and judge over us? So Moses split. For 40 years he was gone. Then he even came back. What, do you think they followed him wholeheartedly? I mean, whoever's reading the Torah, clearly this is not the case. They did not follow Moses. They begrudgingly stepped after him, but there was really no loyalty. Even amongst his own brother and sister, they snickered at him in his choice of wife. They get to the Red Sea. They say, oh, you brought us out here to die. God performs a miracle, splits the sea. I mean, if the plagues weren't enough, you have a splitting of a sea. Then they get out there, and then they finally said, oh, we're thirsty. Let's drink some water. They taste it, and it's bitter. So they flip out again. As if the sea and the plagues weren't enough, now they start complaining about just water. So God tells Moses, take a stick, throw it in the water, it makes it sweet. Further there, now we're hungry. So again, it's repetitive over and over. God keeps doing stuff, and they don't keep looking forward. They don't keep looking at what God did. All they look back into what the troubles were. God provides them manna. Then they get sick of manna. And then they said, okay, we want some meat. So God sends them quail, and he says, I'm going to give them so much it's going to come out their nose, it's going to be in their teeth. They still don't get it. They still haven't changed their perspective. They're still slaves. Then Moses goes up the mountain. He says, I'll be back. They flip out. Where is Moses gone? Let's build ourselves a God. So, of course, Moses comes back down and says, oh, my gosh, seriously? Then he sends out the spies. Of course, we all know that story, which is what condemns them to the 40 years of wandering. And they get two reports. They actually have a literal choice. And they choose the bad report. Because notice, when Caleb and Joshua, they don't minimize their description of the men, that they were giants. They say, yeah, these guys are big, but God's bigger. And he's promised us. I mean, if you look at the past, what's going to stop us? He already beat the Egyptians. And he split a sea. And look at all the other stuff he's done. Let's go up. And they didn't trust him. They didn't look at that promise. They looked and said, yes, we are grasshoppers in our own eyes. Instead of, they should have looked at God and said, we are grasshoppers, but God is a lot bigger. Of course, there's an issue of later they complain more about food. God sends serpents and scorpions. And he says, raise up the bronze serpent. If you look at this, you'll be saved. Now, many of them do, but still thousands die before they start to look at the bronze serpent. Of course, there's Bilam. He sends forth the Moabite women. That brings out another plague. Pinchas stops this. He finally says, enough! He takes his spear and he ends the plague with murdering those fornicating in front of the tent. Lastly, of course, what condemns Moses is they say, we're thirsty again. So God tells him just to speak to the rock. He hits the rock out of frustration. And water does come out, but then he can't go into the promised land. Now, Moses also at this point made a choice. He made a choice to give in to his frustration, and he hid it. Now, it's hard. Moses didn't have an easy life. I'm sure in many respects, he probably would have been happy just taking care of sheep out in Midian. Sheep don't talk back. And they're pretty dumb. All they do is just go where you lead them, and then you shear them. And, you know, life's pretty easy. You had 2 to 3 million people he had to deal with. And then even once they get into the promised land, they conquer Jericho, and they go forward, and they say, they take a Jericho, they say, don't take any of the gods. And someone takes some of the gods and hides them, they go to conquer Ai, they can't do it. And they find out who it is, which we know becomes the Valley of Achor, and they realize you disobeyed God. And that's why you lost. They finally get rid of it. They have to kill that guy. He gets the death sentence. And they can go forward and conquer then thereafter. It's constantly this battle between, am I going to listen to God or am I not going to listen to God? Am I going to look forward or am I going to look backwards? Am I going to even look backwards and say, look at what God has done, so I know he's going to do some great stuff later? Or am I going to look backwards and say, ugh, another trial. I can't take anymore. I'll just go back being a slave. In a way, slaves got it good. You got your house is paid for. You got a job. You gave food. I mean, your life is taken care of. You get beaten every once in a while. But, I mean, joking aside, life, you really become a robot. God is a lot more, it's more difficult to serve God than it is to be a slave in one respect. Because you constantly have to make a choice. Am I going to serve God today? Am I going to do the right thing? Am I going to go after God? It's challenging to be an honest, God-fearing believer. It's hard. But the reward is so much better. Next. They really should have looked upward, forward and upward to God. And I picked this picture intentionally. Who made all those stars? You know, there are billions. Billions of galaxies, billions and billions of stars, probably even billions of planets. God made all these. What is a transition to God? Anyone made a star? Anyone made a galaxy? Anyone made a planet? God made all these. God made us. I think he can handle a transition. Next. Something very biblical to To illustrate this is Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come? Now notice, David's writing, he's lifting his eyes up, not looking down. He's looking up. God is the creator of mountains, majestic, strong, immovable. My help comes from Adonai, maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. Your keeper will not slumber. Behold, the keeper of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Adonai is your keeper. Adonai is your shadow at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. Adonai will protect you from all evil. He will guard your life. Adonai will watch over your coming and your going from this time forth and forevermore. Even when we're sleeping, God is taking care of us. Even when we're not doing anything in regards to the transition of this from Vo'ev Israel, God is watching us and taking care of things. His watch is constant. It's vigilant. Shaul puts it another way. Brothers and sisters, that I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this, but this one thing I do, he's talking about getting perfection, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God and Messiah Yeshua. So he's talking about going forward and upward. It's you don't have to forget the past like it never happened. You can look back and see the good times and praise God for the good times and even think about the hard times and how God brought us through these things. But we can't dwell there. We can't mourn for it. We can't lust for it. Oh, the past was so great. We got to look, yes, the past was great, and then there's more even to be had. Remember, if God has stuff for us to do for his glory. The past has already given God his glory. What about the future giving him his glory? Hebrews says it another way. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, focusing on Yeshua, the initiator and perfecter of faith. So Yeshua starts, he starts it and he perfects it. Perfection, or even the going forth of it, trying to attain it, is only done by going forward. The best in the world of whatever they do are always trying to find ways to improve, always looking back and criticizing themselves. I mean, let's hear something kind of funny. When I was growing up, I loved Schwarzenegger. I read all his books. I had a big book on bodybuilding. I read it back and back, you know, front to cover, the whole thing. And he used to take pictures of himself and criticize himself and say, this is where I need to improve. And he would take another picture later and say, I've done that. Now I got to work on this part. Maybe a silly example, but the point is, professionals, the best, are always looking how to get better. How can I improve? How can I get better? How can I go forward? It's the same with us. And lastly, Yeshua says, in a very stern manner, but Yeshua said to him, no one who has put his hand to the plow and looked back is fit for the kingdom of God. Following Yeshua is a wholehearted endeavor. And it's something that goes forward. I'm looking forward, as Josh said, to the coming of Yeshua. I'm looking forward to the kingdom of God coming on this earth. And he's entrusted us with helping bring that into reality. Remember, God is the God of the living, Yeshua says elsewhere. The past is gone. This is what's alive. We're going forward into life. Life always moves forward. As we move forward, there's life, there's God, and we're going to help bring the kingdom of God here. It's okay to look back and say, wow, that was great. I mean, Jewish life is constant of looking back and praising God for those events. But it's also a life that looks back so we can look forward. If you want another analogy, is if it's a tree, can only grow as high, like say an oak tree, a very large tree, as its roots are deep. If you have weak roots, if you have no connection to the past, you can't grow up. But if your roots are deep and you're grounded and you're strong, then you can grow up. Remember, think about this when it talks about in Hebrews, focusing on Yeshua. Where is Yeshua? He's seated at the right hand of God. And I always like to think if he's seated, You know, he's waiting for God to put his enemies as a footstool. He's not pacing back and forth, oh, Dad, I don't know. It's taken a while. What is everyone doing now? His foot's not tapping. He's not checking his phone. He's seated. He's confident. You ever watch someone when there's trouble going on and they're seated and they're calm and they don't move? Whoa. That's what he looks like. He's waiting. When we look at him, it should inspire us. It should give us this through his spirit to be unmoved. How many times does David say, I trust in the Lord, I will not be moved. My foot shall not falter. Why? Because of God. He's seated. He's confident. Nothing can move him. There's a strength even as looking at him. You know, sometimes my daughters, when they want to do something or they're not sure about something, they look at me and I smile. And it gives them both, they feel the permission and the confidence to do what they have to do. It's no different with us and looking at Yeshua. Next. Sorry, Brooke. Yeah, there's sometimes in marriage, it can be challenging. You know, it's a tendency to want to blame the other person. Marriage is probably one of the hardest transitions you make in life. Because in singlehood, you're your own boss. You can do pretty much whatever you want. You can do it whenever you want. You can dress however you want. You can make the bed or not. You can eat whatever you want, whenever you want. And you can watch movies whenever you want, too. And then when stuff goes wrong, you want to say, but it's your fault. It's your fault. You did this. You did this. You're to blame. And that goes nowhere. What does go somewhere is when you realize, you know what, we're going to have issues. We're going to have challenges. What's the solution? Laying aside who's wrong, who's right, what's the solution? The transition will be challenging. There's all these logistics things to take care of, showing up, doing this, reading this. But you have to ask yourself, what is the solution? And with that is that I got a news break. It's not going to be perfect. Even on December 2nd, it's not going to be perfect. Stuff's going to go wrong. So we say in the theater world, bad opening night or bad general rehearsal, you can have a good opening night. You kind of expect, you want to get rid of all the bad stuff first. You kind of just get it out of your system. People say, I want to come to opening night. We used to say in theater, don't go. Because it's going to be bad. Stuff's going to mess up. People are going to forget the tech problems. Then the next night, like, oh, it's so much better. That's December 2nd. Don't expect perfection. Don't expect it to be like it was. Because it's not. And even on December 9th, it still won't reach perfection. It'll get better. But keep looking for ways for how to you can help with the solution. It's easy to point fingers. God gave us 10 of them. But it's better to say, what's the solution? And how can I help? Yeshua washed our feet. Yeshua laid down his life. How much more we, when there's something coming up, can we serve one another, work together? How I would ask you, I guess, for this next coming week, even, you know, especially with tomorrow with the moving and rehearsals, and the following days for help move, how can I serve? Ask yourself that. And when things don't go right, and you're going to look back, but wait, it used to be like that. It's not going to be like that anymore. Things will change. And it's okay. And how can we make it better? And just because something has to get better doesn't mean the way it used to be was wrong. It just means how can I make it better? Better is good. Better is hard because it requires more work. But better is good because then it's better. We always want to be better. I encourage you this next week and even thereafter, be gracious with yourself, be gracious with one another, be gracious with the congregation, be gracious with the ICC, be gracious with your leadership. Grace will do a lot more work in the end than bitterness, complaining, and fighting, and biting, all that nasty stuff. It does nothing. It produces nothing. But grace will help. Grace will encourage. Grace will give life. Grace will solve problems. Grace will be the love of God so that we can do all these things. And grace will also say, you know what? I did what I can today. I'll do more next time. I mean, personally, even with this, our move, there's still stuff in my house that I walk by and say, oh, gosh, I still have to do it. What can I do? It'll get done in its own timing. And many of you guys have moved a lot more than I. It never is done initially. It just takes time. Have grace for the situation. God is not in the business of failure. I'll say it again. God is not in the business of failure. He has a perfect record. He has a great rating with the Better Business Bureau. If we trust in God and we go where he leads, and when remember, God also stops. In the wilderness, God would stop. We need to stop. Don't go ahead of the cloud, because then you're out of his protection. You follow the cloud. When he moves, you move. When he stops, stop. Because there's a reason for it. Again, it's going back to like with Schwarzenegger in working out. If you work out and you never rest, you'll never get stronger. Your muscles actually build when you stop and you rest and you eat right. There's beauty and there's necessity in waiting. So if something doesn't get all done immediately, it's okay. Stop. And you can test yourself on a practical level. If you find yourself really stressed out and it's very challenging and difficult, you've probably pushed yourself too far. Rest. Go to God. Pray. Worship him. Fast even. I know it seems kind of counterintuitive when you're stressed out. I mean, personally, I go find chips. But fast. This happened all the time in the Bible. Something challenging, they would fast, and God would give them strength. But grace is going to get us a lot farther. Grace will help us transition through this. We can do this in him. We can do this if our perspective is looking forward for what God has for us, and looking upward where Yeshua is enthroned. We can do this with expectations that it will get done incrementally. We can do this if we believe that we're all in this together and that we're a teammate, and then we'll pick up the slack where it needs to be done. We can do this if in God's grace that we can give the gifts that we can to help make this transition. And we can do this if we're doing it for the glory of God and not for our own selves, not even for Ohev Yisrael. We're doing this for God. We're following where God has led us. And we can do this. That's what Joshua and Caleb said. We can do this. We can go up. There are no giants in God's perspective. There are no mountains. You said she could throw a mountain into the ocean. He said he could tear down a giant temple wall that took 46 years, a temple that took 46 years to build, and he could raise it up in 3 days. Impossibility is not in God's dictionary. And neither is the word hard. Because it says that with God, all things are possible. All things. Not some, all things. We can do this. I'm going to be really cheesy right now, and I want you to repeat it after me. We can do this. We can do this. We can do this. In him. So what I wanted to do is pray. Josh, would you mind coming up? Thank you. Let's pray. I'm sure some of us are stressed out. There's a lot to expect. There's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot to be done. But the most important thing we can do is pray and seek God. I think, elders, if anyone's up here, if you mind coming up, let's pray. If people feel that you're burdened, recall the words of Yeshua. And he said, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. Cast off the heavy burdens. Take on his. So if you feel you need prayer, if you feel you're overwhelmed, if you feel you're stressed out and all you can't stop thinking about the newness, the transition, come up and get prayer. If you want to pray in your seat, fine. But let's take time and give this transition to God. Because it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Because God's going to do it for his glory.